It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last night after Mass, a young man came to see me. His brother had died in a tragic accident some time before, but he and his family were all still very grieved by that tragic loss, so sudden and so unexpected. Now, as it happens, they all of them have a very strong Catholic faith, which must be a source of great consolation and strength to them, even at the most trying moments. But consider, I often have you ever thought this? How difficult it must be for someone who does not have the faith to bury a loved one, especially young, cut off in the prime of life, especially someone who dies very suddenly and unexpectedly. A certain young man from Scotland in the 19th century lost his brother, whom he loved very tenderly, in just those circumstances. Now, he was, as were the majority of the Scots at that time, a Presbyterian. The Presbyterians follow the dreadful and cold Calvinist heresy, which teaches predestination. In other words, that God arbitrarily assigns certain souls to heaven and certain other souls to hell. And that the only way one would know is that the just are considered to be those who live a respectable church-going life, and also the ones who make quite a bit of money and are well thought of in this world, sort of a Jewish concept of prosperity and salvation. Well, that was all this poor young man had to fall back on, and it was not enough. So grieved was he that he lost his appetite. He could not sleep. He constantly worried about the eternal fate of his brother. Was he saved or was he damned? He was unable to address himself to his studies or to hold down a job. And finally, his doctor recommended that in order to distract himself, he should go on a tour of the continent. And so he booked a passage to France from Scotland, and as it happened, there was a Catholic priest with him on board the ship. They made a little small talk, some pleasantries. Back then, that was before the ecumenical age, of course. But as it happened, it was this man's eternal good fortune to also be booked into the same hotel in Paris where the priest would be staying. They got to know each other a little bit better as time went on. And one day, the young man opened up and confided to the Catholic priest the source of his grief and of his sorrow. The priest did his very best to console this young Protestant and explained to him the Catholic doctrine of purgatory and the Catholic practice of praying for the dead. The young man exclaimed, "If only I were able to pray for my brother, how much better I would feel in my heart, and I would never let a single day go by without sincerely praying for the salvation of his soul." This conversation made a deep impression on the young Calvinist, and with time, perhaps it was because he was in a Catholic country, perhaps it was the prayers, doubtless, of others, and the presence of the priest, whom he saw frequently in the course of a week. In due time, his objections were all answered by the priest, who gave him a good explanation of the other doctrines of the church, and all of his prejudices against Catholicism vanished, and he himself was received into the Catholic faith. What a consolation it is to consider that the dead are as close to us as a prayer. In the book of the Maccabees, in the epistle of the second Mass of All Souls Day, we read that it is a holy and a wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. We help them and thus exercise the truth of the communion of the saints We, the church militant, help them, the church suffering here upon earth. Note that we are the church militant. We fight against the world and the flesh and the devil and against our own sinful selves. Sometimes we tend to feel sorry for ourselves and we'd almost look upon ourselves as the church suffering. But we know nothing of suffering, not in comparison with the indescribable torments which are so peacefully borne by the poor souls in purgatory. We must and we do, because of the communion of the saints, help them by our prayers, beseeching God's mercy on their behalf by saying prayers, offering up aspirations, and most of all by offering up the holy sacrifice of the Mass and our own communions. Along with our prayers, we offer up for the poor souls our good works, offered up by way of suffrage. In other words, I offer up what I manage to do, the morning offering, prayers, works, joys, and sufferings on their behalf. In addition to that, to go out of our way deliberately to offer up some penance, to bear some little act of self-denial or mortification. I'd like to make a comment, but I don't. I'd like to take seconds, but I don't. I eat more of the food I don't like rather than that which pleases my palate and so forth. I forego this or that little thing as a little sacrifice for the poor souls in purgatory, especially in November. Alms deeds and works of mercy count. I go to visit a sick person. I instruct or I someone ignorant or correct someone who is at fault, even though it's against my nature to do so. I give extra money to the church or to the poor or to the seminary or for masses for the priests. Alms deeds. Trials, sorrows, and sufferings are daily lot of the church militant on earth that are born in a Christian spirit. And then, as you're doing today, I gain as many indulgences as I can. You know that coming and going from the church today, each time you make the visit and say the prescribed prayers, you may gain a plenary indulgence, provided that you have no attachment to sin in your heart, you're in the state of sanctifying grace, and you make your confession and communion within a week before or after of today's indulgences. It is a holy thought, Scripture teaches us, in the Old Testament already. Consider how pleasing it is to God that in His plan we should have the power to hasten by our prayers or delay by our negligence the admission of souls into heaven. Our Lord is our Father. He earnestly desires that these souls should be united with Him as soon as possible. How guilty must we be if we never think a thought of praying for the poor souls, but how pleasing to God when we do show this charity. It is a charitable act, particularly to relieve the souls who are desolate and helpless. But what a comforting thought it is to remember that our Lord has a way of, you might say it's a good spiritual socialism. Socialism itself is an evil. But in a spiritual sense, Almighty God takes from those who have enough, and He gives from those who are to those who are in need. Because God alone, and not man or the government, knows those things. God alone can do that safely. So there's no one who's really abandoned. Every time a prayer is said, we saw that yesterday, studying the church militant, didn't we? Every time you say, "One Our Father," all of those souls in purgatory, as well as all Catholics here on earth, are in some sense helped. It's a wonderful and a consoling truth. Truly, as Scripture says, it's a wholesome thought, that it is meritorious to ourselves. It's going to promote our own salvation and lessen our own purgatory when we pray for them. And it is a wholesome thought because we make to ourselves friends of the souls in purgatory, and they become our intercessors. They can and they do pray for us. St. Catherine of Bologna, who is sort of the Church's great expert on purgatory, and she's one of those of that school which emphasizes the peacefulness and the happiness of those souls, because they perfectly accept God's will for the time of their purification. She recounts that very often she would pray to saints for favors, and her prayers would not be heard, but never once did she pray to the holy souls without her prayer being heard. That's how it works. That's why we often have masses said for the holy souls, for this or that intention. The idea being that when they are sent to heaven, partly due to our prayers, they will not forget us. They've become our friends. They will continue to pray for us and make intercession for us. We should pray for all of the dead, particularly, of course, those whom we have known in this life, those who are strangers to us personally, but whose names we are familiar with, those who seem to be perhaps the most forgotten or abandoned in purgatory, those to whom we would owe some debt. That is to say, teachers, priests, nuns, relatives, benefactors from some point earlier in our lives. Those whom we may ever have hurt, neglected, or scandalized. Sometimes it's good to go through the list and to make those particular intentions. No one is beyond the reach of our charitable help in God's beautiful plan. We pray for them. Why? That they may be loosed from their sins. That is to say, for venial sins that were on their soul at the moment of death, and for the temporal punishment due to venial and mortal sins, which was not yet satisfied at the moment of their death. It is a consoling thought for us, is it not, that death, although it separates us, does not entirely separate us from those whom we love. And how close we feel to someone in this life whom we love when we are taking care of that person, or when that person in turn is doing something for us. It is a bond which should not easily be broken or forgotten, but it's an eternal bond that we create by taking care of and praying for the poor souls in purgatory. We may assist them regardless of time. How long ago it is that they left us, that makes no difference in God's good plan. Consider how cold is the Protestant religion that cannot do this, and what little hope or comfort are given to the sick and to the dying, to consider that there is not that way of helping, of reaching into eternity, as it were. And you and I are given that privilege, as it were, to take some drops of the precious blood of Jesus, as you sometimes see angels do in a painting from Calvary, that's the Mass, to pour those drops down into purgatory and to see them extinguish the flames there. Be sorrowful not as others who have no hope, but by this consoling doctrine, help them yourself be helped. Find one of the most consoling truths of our faith that probably we Catholics don't think nearly enough about: the communion of the saints. I'm not just in it for myself. I didn't get to where I got by my own bootstraps, and I certainly will not save my immortal soul by myself. It's that great crowd which no man can number, praying and interceding for me, that will help me to save my soul. And I, in return, I will do my best to help all of those who are now helpless and can't help themselves anymore. Truly, and what a consoling truth it is, I believe in the communion of the saints. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.